Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Back in on a Monday, 96.5 The Fan. Congratulations on waking up this morning and getting through your day. Started off, I know Mondays are tough. Bob used to hate him, and then they put two sparks in this room, and he all of a sudden starting to love Mondays.
I love Mondays when I'm sitting at 7-0 with my football team, right?
That's fair.
It's a good time to be alive right now. If we were sitting at 0-7, we'd be like, so who the Royals going to get this offseason?
Technically, your football team plays tonight.
They do play tonight, don't they? Ugh.
Is that a good Monday night game? I'm trying to figure this out. Steelers and Giants?
Steelers is a good one. Why do you think that's a good game?
The over-under's 36.
Oh, so you think it's going to be a very low-scoring football game. Yeah.
When you think... Vegas knows.
That is true. Vegas does know.
Just like Vegas knew that Kelce wasn't washed. The man had a big day yesterday. Absolutely. Tight end day in the NFL.
Every tight end played big yesterday, right? Block Bowers.
Brock, he might as well Bowers. Be a block.
I mean, my yeah. God, how good is he? He's really good,
he's
right?
So good. Yeah, he's passed on the come.
Yeah, he's arrived, right? Like yeah. he is legit. Like that guy is unbelievable. And Travis Kelce matched him, I guess you could say, yesterday. 10 catches, 90 yards, a touchdown for Travis Kelce. Like the whole Travis Kelce is washed. People want Travis Kelce to do that every single game. Every single game, it's just not possible to go out there and get 10 for 90, but he plays big against the Raiders, and they love beating up on Oakland.
Goal to go, third down and 5 for the Chiefs. Trailing 10-7, Mahomes raises the right leg. Pass caught, Newsom! Touchdown! Kansas City on a quick slant! Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce for the 52nd time! That is third in National Football League history! Quarterback to a tight end.
Keep it together, Dusty. Yep. Keep it together, Dusty.
Travis Kelce. I'll pass along some more news and notes about Travis Kelce after that one, if I can find them. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce now are third all-time in touchdown quarterback touchdowns with 52. The next is 89. That's Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates. That may be a tough one for Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes to get to 89.
How many rings on that list?
Phillip Rivers and Antonio Gates have zero combined.
Travis?
And then, three.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are number one at 90.
That's a lot of rings there combined.
Yeah. But it's the best duo in Chiefs history, Mahomes and Travis Kelce, 52 touchdowns combined, passing Len Dawson and Otis Taylor back in the day. And then you start to scroll through a little bit more on Travis Kelce, He is one receiving touchdown behind Tony Gonzalez for the most receiving touchdowns all time in Chiefs history.
Love that.
One touchdown to go for Travis Kelce to tie Tony Gonzalez, two to pass Tony Gonzalez as the guy who has the most touchdown receptions in Chiefs history. Tyreek Hill is number fourth on that list at 46. I mean, it's crazy, right? How good Tyreek Hill really was here and have nobody, you know.
You think Tyreek Hill's got his October ready yet?
How about that game yesterday, too, right? Yeah, I mean, my God, they lose that game yesterday. But he's ready for something else in October, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Games to be over.
Oh.
Yeah.
Will he be playing again?
In October? No.
October for Tyreek Hill?
Tyreek Hill, he's done. October's over for him because he's got November.
Yeah, I was saying next October.
Oh, next October. Yeah, I don't know. He may be done then, too. Who knows?
We did get the text yesterday of when it was over.
Mahomes will be under center. As a fullback, it is Travis Kelce in motion left to right. They're going to hand it off. Kareem Hunt smashing across the right side and driving Raiders into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Kareem Hunt with power and the football and three dudes, Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney, blasting in front of him.
Trey Smith did clear away.
Yeah, he did.
I mean,
a big way.
Every time I see 65, I always have that offshore like thought of like, okay, when are they going to lock this guy up? Are they going to lock this guy up? Maybe they won't lock this guy up. I have no idea, but I did see that touchdown, then saw the text, and then thought to myself, Kareem Hunt's been here 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Four touchdowns?
Four touchdowns, yeah.
Gee, man,
yeah.
I mean, he's been an addition.
What a great addition to the red zone. I mean, it's been a fantastic addition. And that's Brett Veach just going out there and continuing to, you know, assert himself in Brett Veach town and go out there and just dominate everybody. Because DeAndre Hopkins comes aboard yesterday. We'll get to him in just 1 minute. But it comes on the heels of going out and getting Kareem Hunt. And, you know, if Isaiah Pacheco doesn't get injured, Kareem Hunt obviously does not come here to Kansas City. And, you know, sometimes injuries are looked at as a blessing in disguise a little bit because I don't want to say he solved the red zone issues, but you now have a power runner inside the 20-yard line that for whatever reason, Isaiah Pacheco, as hard as he runs, was really never that guy inside the 20-yard line. Now you got a guy in Kareem Hunt who's a nice kind of comparison, if you will, to Isaiah Pacheco. The two of them together are going to be fun to watch.
Can't wait for that.
And the way that Kareem Hunt runs inside the 20, inside the 5, we've been lacking that for some time here in Kansas City, and it's great to see Kareem Hunt coming back to the fold and being a dominating force down in the red zone where the Chiefs have struggled for the last couple of years. And now all of a sudden you get Kareem Hunt back, and all of a sudden the red zone looks a little bit more tenable than it did in the past with this organization.
It also just kind of opens up so much more. Like, I don't want them to go to their curveball yet. I want them to stick with the fastball because no one's been able to hit it on third and one, third and short, second and goal, stuff like that. With Kareem Hunt, but the more that you have a success rate with that, the more you give yourself the ability to buckle the knees of the defense with the curveball. And obviously that's the analogy of a pitcher. Like, if you go out there and, like, let's say Lucas Irsay's got a dynamite slider, but his fastball is overpowering. If they're not hitting your fastball, there's no need to show them your slider yet.
Right.
Until they can prove to you they can hit your fastball. Right now, your fastball on third down and short or goal line is Kareem Hunt, and it's working because he's been here 3 weeks. He's got four touchdowns to where, you know, you're going to start seeing that anytime number go lower and lower and lower in the minus to where, like, I think this past Sunday, I think it was like minus 180.
Oh, it was that low.
I think it's either 180 or 170. I did take an anytime Travis Kelce touchdown. It hit. Unfortunately, we talk about DeAndre Hopkins. I thought he'd have a little bit more of a productive game. Started off hot, two for 29, had the big 18-yard catch. I think it was 18, maybe it was 13. Big play in the first drive. Mahomes looked methodical, looked great. 5 for 5, 54 or 55 yards passing, and the touchdown to cap it off.
Yeah,
to Travis.
The 13-yard pass on third and 7.
That's what it was. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, 3rd and 7, 13-yard pass, sticking to the script right there, which we get into a little bit later. But I was like, that's the script. You know, find DeAndre Hopkins on a down where it's like, because those 3rd and 7 plays, they're tough, and you got to execute those if you want to keep drives alive. And you see teams that struggle throughout, you know, week by week. Where do they struggle at? Turnovers and not converting on third downs. The Chiefs were excellent yesterday on converting on third down. Again, another tip pass for an interception. Then Mahomes would finally get lucky with a tip pass.
Right.
But I would have liked to see maybe a few more targets or a few more playing time on the field. Because I saw one shot where they put in a new group and DeAndre Hopkins was on the sideline. It was kind of one of those like, man, I want to get out there. And it's like, you'll get there. Trust me, you'll get there. Just ask Kareem. Like, he eased his way in it.
Right.
And, you know, next week you get the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not a great defense over there as well.
Do they play the Tampa 2 there? Is that where they play that? But no, but I think this is the week we're going to see DeAndre Hopkins unleash, Dusty. I think having the extra day Monday now with the game being a week from tonight, you get that extra day to prepare. They gave him a limited role kind of going into that game and kind of did what we thought he would do yesterday. Nothing spectacular. I mean, 30 yards receiving, but had a big play when you needed it on a 3rd and 7. He went right to DeAndre Hopkins with 13:42. To go in the first quarter. I mean, they went right to DeAndre Hopkins at that time. But, you know, I know that I've talked to some folks. They want to get him worked in more. They wanted to get him worked in more yesterday. But you know what? When you have Travis Kelce going 10 for 90 and he's doing his thing out there, you continue to feed the hot hand. But now they get to kind of hit that reset button because DeAndre didn't arrive here till Wednesday night last week, right? So you really only had Thursday and Friday to truly get him up to speed for that game. And so they got him, you know, a couple of plays and a couple of things that he could do. And he did it. And he went out there and asserted himself and made his presence known. But I think a week from tonight, I think we're going to see a big unleashing of DeAndre Hopkins because now you're going to have a full week of getting him into the fold. And while they're off Monday and Tuesday, I would imagine DeAndre Hopkins is probably going to be in there with Matt Nagy and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid trying to figure some things out. Because I think a week from tonight, if you want to start taking like and looking like at the overs for DeAndre Hopkins, I think Monday is going to be his coming out party here in Kansas City.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting, too, because certain people, you know, try to think they know what they're talking about or, you know, whatever it may be. And I thought it was interesting that when I was looking at James Palmer's tweet before the game, he said, expect DeAndre Hopkins to play today and actually play a good amount. A few factors played into this. Hop's football IQ, the Chiefs work they put in on Hopkins during the free agent before the 2023 season, and especially wide receiver coach Connor Embry, who got Hopkins up to speed. That wasn't the case.
No.
It just wasn't. I don't know where, you know, that's just an opinion, I guess. I don't know. I don't know, like, if you're getting that information somewhere else, but that just, it wasn't the case. And I thought that, you know, this is one of those classic things where, like, you get a guy, complex offense, even DeAndre Hopkins, who's a veteran, who's, you know, potential Hall of Famer. I've heard other people say that besides this show, including the one that you'll hear after us, 10 to 2. By the way, I think Alex Gold just landed in Kansas City.
Did he tell you that? Did you get a text message or something about that?
He said on Friday he was going to text me at 5 o'clock in the morning to see if I was up, and I was like, please.
He hasn't texted me, and I'm his dad.
Yeah, and he said he was getting back around 4:45, so it should be a good show from 10 to 2 to see how the thirst trap Mr. Gold's doing. You're aware of what a thirst trap is,
right? Oh, yeah,
right?
I've told my daughters I'm a thirst trap, and they roll their eyes. They don't like that.
Yeah, he took he did his live prediction in the pool shirtless with sunglasses.
No, he did not.
Oh, yeah,
good for him. See, he learns from his old man. Yeah. I tell you.
Somebody,
I told my daughter, I said, most people think your dad's a thirst trap. Mm-hmm. And they go, what?
I understand why they roll their eyes.
Why?
But yes. Yeah, I mean, it's on camera.
Look at this.
You sure about that?
Oh, dad.
You talk about dad bods. Let's talk about the Patrick Mahomes effect of the first 2 months of the season. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but
hasn't been great numbers wise, right?
But 7-0.
Yeah, 7. That's the only number that matters.
And just knows how to get it done, knows how to keep it that way. And I thought that the most important part of the game yesterday was that final drive of theirs, that they just absolutely drained that clock. And the Raiders had to go for it on fourth down. They did not get it. And that's what we talk about with like Mitch Holtis and Danon Hughes and Derek Johnson, who will join us later today in about an hour. That he affects the other teams in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm.
The defense not only has to play against him, the head coach has to coach against him, and then the offense has to sit there and be like, okay, what is Mahomes going to do, and when are we going to get the ball back? Not only that, they stopped the Vegas Raiders and got the ball back in the first half towards the end of the game and were able to go down and get a field goal, I believe, with Harrison Butker, right? Is that how the first half ended? Then they kicked off, and then the Raiders got the ball.
Yeah, they went
the
down there at the end of the first half with 8 seconds left, hit a 42-yard field goal to go up 7.
Most teams are like, you know, you look at that as
most teams sit on that.
Right, and yeah. And when you go down and think about that, I think we're spoiled as Chiefs consumers or by the fan and all of you out there listening, that when you watch the Chiefs go down and do that and get a field goal, and it's like, all right, 42-yard field goal, yeah, whatever. Like, there are teams that, like, literally cannot do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you watched two teams last night in Dallas and San Francisco. Dallas can't do that. Like, they just don't have that fortitude to, like, know in their mind that they have, and they have a great kicker. Like, they know they only got to get to a certain point. Whereas, like, Mahomes knows, like, if I have this much time, but not only that, that's not the scariest part about that with the Mahomes dominance that he has and, like, being able to manage the game. And I know the numbers aren't there, right? What, he throw one touchdown yesterday, one interception?
Yeah.
Two touchdowns. That's right, two touchdowns. And one interception now has, what, 7 touchdowns and 9 interceptions on the year?
Mm-hmm. But he also has a 7-0 record, right?
It's 8 touchdowns and 9 interceptions?
I think so.
Because he won the game with, what, 6-8?
He has more interceptions than touchdowns on the season right now.
And yet he's 7-0.
And yet he's 7-0, and that's because they just know how to win games.
And the defense is an amazing defense.
They're just stellar, right? But you bring up that last kind of drive before halftime. It's a 3rd and 8. They sent McDuffie on the blitz, right? Here he comes, and he's going after whoever was playing quarterback yesterday, Aiden McDuffie or whoever. He screwed up the entire play. They have to punt with 1:02 left on the clock. You punt with 1:02 left on the clock before halftime, you know you're giving up points to the Chiefs. It just matters if you're giving up 3 or if you're giving up 7. P. Ryan has a nice play, the Kelsey, and then the flip to P. Ryan, which was clearly a design play on that one. Worthy had a big reception on that one. Hopkins had a 16-yarder, and then you set yourself up for a 42-yard field goal to make it 17-10 at halftime, and now you've opened a full touchdown lead, and that's got to be demoralizing to the Raiders, even though they were getting the ball back to start the half. They had an opportunity to kind of close that gap. They didn't. Chiefs took advantage, and here we sit. Now it's 7-0, but this is what Patrick Mahomes does against this division. 32-5 versus the AFC West. I mean, that's just 32-5 against the AFC West is just stupid, and he's 19-1 now on the road against the AFC West. The only road game that they lost, if I'm not mistaken, is the flu game, right?
Last year in Denver.
The flu game Mahomes was sick.
So he's never lost in L.A.?
No.
No.
19-1 against the AFC West on the road.
That's insane. And his only loss is a flu game?
The flu game.
That's amazing.
Right? I'm not mistaken by that, right? That's the number CBS gave after the game yesterday.
Yep.
And the only loss is that flu game last year in Denver.
That's insane.
Where he was sick, barely played.
Barely played.
Barely played that game. Was out there, but didn't play.
Can I sound like an old man for a second?
Sure.
I was bitching and complaining about every flag in the last 7 minutes of this game.
Because it just kept taking forever.
And I was that guy's like, oh, here comes another flag. another flag. There was so much laundry on the end of that, like the second half in general, where it was like, it felt to me, here comes the golf analogy, when you go play golf in the afternoon on a weekend and every single tee box is a 12 to 13 minute wait.
Oh,
and you're
I can't get into the rhythm.
Like my buddy, played Sunday, teed off at 8:30, didn't get done until 2:15.
Yeah, that's it. I was like, dude, at the turn,
I'm out.
And people are playing about baseball with a pace of play.
Right.
My God, you could play three World Series games in that span.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the thing about the end of this game is I was like, this is taking forever. I was like, there's a flag every play. Wanya Morris is being targeted. I don't know if it's Juwan Taylor, they just gave up, but I'm like, every time I watch the snap, I'm like, he jumped.
Juwan didn't get a flag yesterday, if I'm mistaken. That may be the first time ever, right?
Did anybody else watch that and think? Like, every snap, like, calm down. Like, well, half a second later.
They have to protect the league from Max Crosby. And so if you allow Juwan Taylor to get a split-second head start to make sure that he's in position to block Max Crosby, they're going to go with that. Wanya Morris.
Yeah, yesterday was Wanya Morris's day.
Wanya Morris had a day yesterday. Yeah. Give him a round of applause on the tip of the cap. He put on a show yesterday. I put eight penalties all on Wanya Morris. He put on a blocking display yesterday that you look at and you go, they may need to upgrade that position, but at this point in time, I think you're just going to have to play through it. I mean, I just think you're going to have to play through it. Mm. I mean, we're through October right now. We got 8 days to the trade deadline. I don't know if you're going to be able to go out and find left tackle you or somebody out there to put at that spot. But Wanya Morris, man, baptism by fire. Enjoy your run through the AFC West.
Yeah, if they haven't given Donovan Smith a call by now, then I don't expect that to be happening.
Probably. So. Today, Donovan Smith signs with the Chiefs.
He's still sitting there on his couch.
You think they are done adding anybody?
I don't think. No, I think if the opportunity presents itself.
They had another defensive injury.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So now they've flipped the sides.
Right.
Now where you were injured on offense all the time, now you're starting to get injured on defensive side. What was the guy's name that got hurt this weekend?
Was it Roland Wallace?
Roland Wallace. Yeah, the guy we never heard of a week ago. He was in on blitzes and doing some things, and I still haven't heard of him. But you know, maybe you explore. I mean, you obviously have to keep looking. I mean, and that's what Brett Veach is doing. He's combing the waiver wire, looking for trades. And, you know, more teams, obviously, with their losses yesterday, probably have fallen out of the mix right now. I think you probably want to call, I don't know, Jacksonville and see what they got going on at their defensive back position. Maybe Miami falling to 2-5. The Jets now, I think, officially waving the white flag. You're sitting at 2-6 and just lost to the New England Patriots. You got to be on the horn with those people and find out what's going on there.
By a rookie yesterday, too. You see that touchdown by Marvin Harrison Jr. in the corner of the end zone from our guy Kyler Murray? How about Kyler Murray?
How about them winning that game yesterday, too? I mean,
they just beat Miami and the Chargers in back-to-back weeks.
God, how about that? Arizona, the 4 seed right now at 4-4.
Is the NFC better than the AFC?
Yes.
Is it close?
The fourth best team in the AFC, Arizona, 4-4.
That's the NFC.
But the fourth best team in the AFC is 5-2.
Yeah, but go look at the 10th best team and then tell me.
The depth is not even close. Miami at 2-5. The 10th best team is San Francisco at 4-4.
The depth is not even close.
San Francisco's not a good team, though. Tampa's not a good team. Seattle's not a good team.
Who did you say? Miami versus San Francisco?
Yeah.
Versus Tampa?
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't think Tampa's anything special. They've lost two
Baker
in a row.
Baker was like amazing yesterday without Godwin or Evans. It was pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, they're
but
cooked.
Kirk Cousins was better.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins just wants to play Tampa Bay every single
every
week.
Seriously. Yeah, every
just
week.
Absolutely. What's he got, like 900 passing yards against them in two games?
He does.
He go for four bills yesterday?
I think he did.
And you want to judge a conference based on the 10th team in there right now? Mm-hmm. I think
it's week 8.
I know, but I think we know who the good teams are. You're in the playoffs right now. Detroit obviously is by far the best team in the NFC. It's not even close. I don't think there's an argument to be made.
Are they better than the Chiefs?
No, in the NFC.
I know, but I'm saying, are they better than the Chiefs?
I don't think so. No, I don't. Because
everybody says they score at will, but I'm like, we've seen this story before, and we've seen how this develops.
Yeah,
In the NFC has an offense that's overpowering, and then they play in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, and it's like, what happened to that offense?
Yeah, they had 22 points.
They met this defense.
Right, exactly. I don't think they are better.
I would love to see them play this year. I really would. Like, I would love nothing more than to see, like, Detroit, Kansas City this year midseason, and then hopefully it foils over, because their offense is scoring at will, and Dan Campbell is not worried about your feelings, which is awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
And
I needed 60 yesterday. They got me 52.
And that's 2 weeks of 50-point hangers on defenses, and it's also at a point where, like, it's not like it's 52-48. it's like 52 to 17.
Yeah.
And they're still running like they don't take their foot off the gas.
Nor should you win an NFL game.
But I would love to see that offense against this Chiefs defense. I'm getting ready for. I'm ready for that Super Bowl, man.
I think we're headed towards that Super Bowl because I think the Chiefs and the Lions are by far the two best teams.
And there is a gap.
And there's a huge gap.
Because
yes.
You can't sell me on Baltimore right now, who's lost to the Vegas Raiders and the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns, without Amari Cooper, okay, yeah. And without their starting quarterback, which is the best thing ever, which is so funny to me that we've been screaming for Jameis Winston to play, and it's the best the Browns have looked all year.
And they will probably go back to being the Browns next week.
Sure.
You get that backup quarterback bump, but it took care of the Baltimore Ravens. But, I mean, after Detroit, you think Washington's really the second best team in the NFC?
No, the Packers are.
Atlanta's the third best team in the NFC. Arizona's the fourth best team in the NFC. Green Bay's the fifth best team.
Who do you think?
No, you're just going by record.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you judge things.
The Packers are a better record than any of the teams you just mentioned besides the Lions.
And they're not. They're the fifth seed right now.
They're 6-2.
I understand that, but they're still the sixth seed. I mean, if they're better than the Lions, they would be better than the Lions.
No, but I said they're better than every team you mentioned besides the Lions.
Same record as the Commanders. One more win than the Falcons, and then obviously Arizona being at 4-4. That division's up for grabs out there. But Green Bay, how did they do yesterday?
They won.
Barely, right?
But their starting quarterback got hurt.
I understand that.
So that they still won.
They still won. How good is Jordan Love then? Is he still in the MVP conversation? I don't think
he got hurt yesterday, but
yeah,
he was before yesterday.
Second time he's been hurt and they've won without him, right?
Same injury.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That shows how good of a team they are.
Well, maybe they are, yeah. So you can't count him as MVP if the team is still winning when he's
absolutely
not there.
No, you can't.
You can't.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think right now you could have a conversation about...
And I'm not trying to defend the Dolphins here or defend the AFC, but I think we've got our good teams now. We know who's good, and the rest, you don't stand. How many teams can win the Super Bowl right now in the NFL? Detroit, Kansas City?
Green Bay. They have a good offense. They have a good enough defense.
Yeah, San Francisco.
I think Buffalo could win the Super Bowl.
San Francisco's got to be mentioned.
They did win last night, so they're still at 500.
The 10th best team in the NFC.
And they're going to get Christian McCaffrey back in 2 weeks.
Is that what they're telling you?
They said week 10.
Is that what they're saying?
That's what they said.
That's what they're saying.
Those are minor reactions. We get to our overreactions on the other side.
Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Side, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, and Dusty Morey with you here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
Odyssey celebrates Halloween, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.